Well, as we start this morning's service, normally at this point we would read a different part of the Bible and pray in line with that passage. But since we have four chapters of Numbers, what we're going to do is we're going to read the first two chapters, so Numbers 1 and 2 now, and then we'll pray. And then before the sermon, we're going to read Numbers 3 and 4. Now, I have to admit, these passages are a little hard in that it's quite easy to allow your mind to wander. So what I would suggest we do is just to have a simple question in our mind for each chapter. And they're not difficult questions, particularly simple. And the idea is just that helps us to keep our mind focused on the passage. Use it if you want to, obviously ignore them if you don't. So I've got a couple of questions. So chapter one, very simple question. Which tribe has the most people? As I say, it's very easy, but it just helps keep your mind on the passage. And the second question, for Numbers chapter two, how are the tribes to arrange themselves in the camp? Okay, so the first question, which tribe has the most people? And then for chapter two, how are the tribes to arrange themselves in the camp? So I'll read Numbers 1 and Numbers 2, and then I'll pray. The Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tent of meeting. On the first day of the second month, in the second year, after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, take a census of all the congregation of the people of Israel, by clans, by fathers' houses, according to the number of names, every male, head by head. From 20 years old and upwards, all in Israel who are able to go to war, you and Aaron shall list them, company by company. And there shall be with you a man from each tribe, each man being the head of the house of the fathers. And these are the names of the men who shall assist you. From Reuben, Elazar, the son of Shedeur. From Simeon, Shelumiel, the son of Zurishaddai. From Judah, Nashon, the son of Amminadab. From Issachar, Nathaniel, the son of Zuar. From Zebulun, Eliab, the son of Helon. From the sons of Joseph, from Ephraim, Elishama, the son of Amihud, and from Manasseh, Gamaliel, the son of Bedhatsur. From Benjamin, Abidan, the son of Gideoni. From Dan, Ahaziah, the son of Amishaddai. From Asher, Pagiel, the son of Ochran. From Gad, Eliasaph, the son of Deuel. From Naphtali, Ahira, the son of Anam. These were the ones chosen from the congregation, the chiefs of their ancestral tribes, the heads of the clans of Israel. Moses and Aaron took these men who had been named, and on the first day of the second month, they assembled the whole congregation together, who registered themselves by clans, by fathers' houses, according to the numbers of names, from 20 years old and upwards, head by head, as the Lord commanded Moses. So he listed them in the wilderness of Sinai. The people of Reuben, Israel's firstborn, their generation, by their clans, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of names, head by head, every male from 20 years old and upwards, all who were able to go to war, those listed of the tribe of Reuben were 46,500. The people of Simeon, their generations, by their clans, by their fathers' houses, those of them who were listed, according to the number of names, head by head, every male from 20 years old and upwards, all who were able to go to war, those listed of the tribe of Simeon, were 59,300. Of the people of Gad, their generations, by their clans, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of the names from 20 years old and upwards, all who were able to go to war, those listed of the tribe of Gad, were 46,650. of the people of Judah, their generations, by their clans, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of names, from 20 years old and upwards, every man able to go to war, those listed of the tribe of Judah were 74,600. Of the people of Issachar, their generations, by their clans, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of names, from 20 years old and upwards, every man able to go to war, those listed of the tribe of Issachar were 54,400. Of the people of Zebulun, their generations, by their clans, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of names, from 20 years old and upwards, every man able to go to war, those listed of the tribe of Zebulun, were 57,400. Of the people of Joseph, namely of the people of Ephraim, their generations, by their clans, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of names, from 20 years old and upwards, every man able to go to war, those listed of the tribe of Ephraim were 40,500. The people of Manasseh, their generations, by their clans, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of names, from 20 years old and upwards, every man able to go to war, those listed of the tribe of Manasseh were 32,200. The people of Benjamin, their generations, by their clans, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of names, from 20 years old and upwards, every man able to go to war, those listed of the tribe of Benjamin were 35,400. Of the people of Dan, their generations, by their clans, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of names, from 20 years old and upwards, every man able to go to war, those listed of the tribe of Dan were 62,700. Of the people of Asher, their generation, by their clans, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of names, from 20 years old and upwards, every man able to go to war, those listed of the tribe of Asher were 41,500. Of the people of Naphtali, their generations, by their clans, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of names, from 20 years old and upwards, every man able to go to war, those listed of the tribe of Naphtali were 53,400. These are those who were listed, whom Moses and Aaron listed with the help of the chiefs of Israel. 12 men, each representing his father's house. So all those listed are the people of Israel, by their father's houses, from 20 years old and upwards, every man able to go to war in Israel, all those listed were 603,550. But the Levites were not listed along with them by their ancestral tribe. For the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Only the tribe of Levi you shall not list, and you shall not take a census of them among the people of Israel. But appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of the testimony, and over all its furnishing, and over all that belongs to it. They are to carry the tabernacle and all its furnishings, and they shall take care of it, and shall camp round the tabernacle. When the tabernacle is to set out, the Levite shall take it down, and when the tabernacle is to be pitched, the Levite shall set it up. And if any outsider comes near, he shall be put to death. The people of Israel shall pitch their tents by their companies, each man in his own camp, and each man by his own standard. But the Levites shall camp round the tabernacle of the testimony, so that there may be no wrath on the congregation of the people of Israel. The Levites shall keep guard over the tabernacle of the testimony. Thus did the people of Israel. They did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses." The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "The people of Israel shall camp each by his own standard, with the banners of their fathers' houses. They shall camp facing the tent of meeting on every side. Those to camp on the east side towards the sunrise shall be of the standard of the camp of Judah. By their companies, the chief of the people of Judah, being Nashon, the son of Amminadab, his company, as listed, being 74,600. Those to camp next to him shall be the tribe of Issachar, the chief of the people of Issachar, being Nethaneel, the son of Zuar, his company, as listed, being 54,400. Then the tribe of Zebulun, the chief of the people of Zebulun, being Eliab, the son of Helon, his company as listed being 57,400. All those listed of the camp of Judah by their companies were 186,400. They shall set out first on the march. On the south side shall be the standard of the camp of Reuben, by their companies, the chief of the people of Reuben being Eliezer, the son of Shedeur, his company is listed being 46,500. And those to camp next to him shall be the tribe of Simeon, the chief of the people of Simeon being Shelumiel, the son of Zurishaddai, his company is listed being 59,300. Then the tribe of Gad, the chief of the people of Gad being Eliasaph, the son of Reuel. His company is listed being 45,650. All those listed of the camp of Reuben by their companies were 151,450. They shall set out second. Then the tent of meeting shall set out with the camp of the Levites in the midst of the camps as they camp. So shall they set out, each in position, standard by standard. On the west side shall be the standard of the camp of Ephraim by their companies, the chief of the people of Ephraim being Elishama, the son of Aminahud. His company is listed being 40,500. And next to him shall be the tribe of Manasseh, the chief of the people of Manasseh being Gamaliel, the son of Bedathsur. His company is listed being 32,200. Then the tribe of Benjamin, the chief of the people of Benjamin, being Abidan, the son of Gedaliah. His company is listed being 35,400. All those listed at the camp of Ephraim by their companies were 108,100. They shall set out third on the march. On the north side shall be the standard of the camp of Dan, by their companies, the chief of the people of Dan being Ahiezer, the son of Amishaddai. His company is listed being 62,700. And those to camp next to him shall be the tribe of Asher, the chief of the people of Asher being Pagiel, the son of Ochran. His company is listed being 41,500. Then the tribe of Naphtali, the chief of the people of Naphtali being Ahira, the son of Enan. His company is listed being 53,400. All those listed at the camp of Dan were 157,600. They shall set out last, standard by standard. These are the people of Israel as listed by their fathers' houses. All those listed in the camps by their companies were 603,550. But the Levites were not listed among the people of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses. Thus did the people of Israel according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So they camped by their standards, and so they set out, each one in his clan, according to his father's house. So let's return to Numbers 3 and 4. If the questions were helpful, here are a couple more. So for Numbers 3, the Levi tribe is further split up into the Gershonites, Kohathites, and Merarites. So the question for number 3 is, where do they camp? And then numbers 4, what are the Gershonites, Kohathites, and Merarites responsible for? So first one, where did the Gershonites, Kohathites, and Merarites camp? Where? And then chapter 4, what are Gershonites, Kohathites, and Merarites responsible for? Anyhow, let me read numbers 3 and 4. These are the generations of Aaron and Moses at the time when the Lord spoke with Moses on Mount Sinai. These are the names of the sons of Aaron: Nadab, the firstborn, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the anointed priests whom he ordained to serve as priests. But Nadab and Abihu died before the Lord when they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai, and they had no children. So Eleazar and Ithamar served as priests in the lifetime of Aaron, their father. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, bring the tribe of Levi near and set them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister to him. They shall keep guard over him and over the whole congregation before the tent of meeting, as they minister at the tabernacle. They shall guard all the furnishings of the tent of meeting and keep guard over the people of Israel as they minister at the tabernacle. And you shall give the Levites to Aaron and his sons. They are holy, given to him from among the people of Israel. And you shall appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall guard their priesthood. But if any outsiders come near, he shall be put to death. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, behold, I have taken the Levites from among the people of Israel instead of every firstborn who opens the womb among the people of Israel. The Levites shall be mine, for all the firstborn are mine. On the day that I struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I consecrated for my own all the firstborn in Israel, both of man and of beast. They shall be mine. I am the Lord. The Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, saying, list the sons of Levi by fathers' houses and by clans. Every male from a month old and upwards you shall list. So Moses listed them according to the word of the Lord, as he was commanded. These were the sons of Levi by their names, Gershon and Kohath and Merari. And these are the names of the sons of Gershon by their clans, Libni and Shimei. And the sons of Kohath by their clans, Amram, Izhar, Hebron and Uzziel. And the sons of Merari by their clans, Mahali and Mushi. These are the clans of Levites by their fathers' houses. To Gershon belong the clans of the Libnites and the clans of the Shimeites. These were the clans of the Gershonites. Their listing according to the number of all the males were a month old and upwards was 7,500. The clans of the Gershonites were to camp behind the tabernacle on the west with Eliasaph, the son of Lal, as chief of the father's house of the Gershonites. The guard duty of the sons of Gershon in the tent of meeting involved the tabernacle, the tent with its covering, the screen for the entrance of the tent of meeting, the hangings of the court, the screen for the door of the court that is found is round the tabernacle and the altar and its cords. All the service connected with these. To Kohath belong the clans of Amramites, and the clan of the Itzarites, and the clan of the Hebronites, and the clan of the Uzzalites. These are the clans of the Kohathites. According to the number of all the males, from a month old and upwards, there were 8,600 keeping guard over the sanctuary. The clans of the sons of Kohath were to camp on the south side of the tabernacle, with Eliasaph, the son of Uzziel, as chief of the father's house of the clans of Kohathites. And their guard duty involved the ark, the table, the lampstand, the altars, the vessels of the sanctuary, with which the priest ministers, and the screen, all the service connected with these. And Eletiah, the son of Aaron, the priest, was to be chief over the chiefs of the Levites and to have oversight of those who kept guard over the sanctuary. To Merari belonged the clan of the Mahalites, the clan of Mushites. These were the clans of Merari. Their listing, according to the numbers of all the males, from a month old and upwards, was 6,200. The chief of the father's houses of the clans of Merari was Zural, the son of Abihel. They were to camp on the north side of the tabernacle, and the appointed guard duty of the sons of Merari involved the frames of the tabernacle, the bars, the pillars, the bases, and all the accessories that all the services connected with these. Also, the pillars around the court with their bases and pegs and cords. Those who were to camp before the tabernacle on the east, before the tent of meeting, towards the sunrise, were Moses and Aaron and his sons, guarding the sanctuary itself to protect the people of Israel, and any outsider who came near was to be put to death. All those listed among the Levites whom Moses and Aaron listed as the commandment of the Lord by clans, all the males from a month old and upwards, were 22,000. And the Lord said to Moses, list all the firstborn males of the people of Israel, from a month old and upwards, taking the number of the names, and you shall take the Levites for me. I am the Lord, instead of all the firstborn among the people of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites, instead of all the firstborn among the cattle of the peoples of Israel. So Moses listed all the firstborn among the people of Israel, as the Lord commanded him, and all the firstborn males, according to the number of names, from a month old and upwards, as listed, were 22,273. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the people of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of their cattle, the Levites shall be mine. I am the Lord. And as a redemption price for the 273, the firstborn of the people of Israel, over and above the number of the male Levites, you shall take 5 shekels per head. You shall take them according to the shekel of the sanctuary, the shekel of 20 gerahs, and give the money to Aaron and his sons as a redemption price for those who are over. So Moses took the redemption money from those who were over and above those redeemed by the Levites. From the firstborn of the people of Israel, he took the money, 1,365 shekels, by the shekel of the sanctuary. And Moses gave the redemption money to Aaron and his sons, according to the word of the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, take a census of the sons of Kohath from among the sons of Levi by their clans and their fathers' houses, from 30 years old up to 50 years old. All who can come on duty to do the work in the tent of meeting. This is the service of the sons of Kohath in the tent of meeting, the most holy things. When the camp is to set out, Aaron and his sons shall go in and take down the veil of the screen and cover the Ark of the Testimony with it. Then they shall put on it a covering of goatskin and spread on top of that a cloth all of blue, and shall put in its poles. And over the table of the bread of the presence they shall spread a cloth of blue and put on it the plates, the dishes for incense, the bowls and the flagons. For the drink offering, the regular showbread also shall be on it. Then they shall spread over them a cloth of scarlet and cover the same with a covering of goatskin, and shall put in its poles. They shall take a cloth of blue and cover the lampstand for the light, with its lamps, its tongs, its trays, and all the vessels for oil with which it is supplied. And they shall put it with all its utensils in a covering of goatskin and put it on the carrying frame. And over the golden altar they shall spread a cloth of blue and cover it with a covering of goatskin and shall put in its poles. And they shall take all the vessels of the service that are used in the sanctuary and put them in a cloth of blue and cover them with a covering of goatskin and put them on the carrying frame. They shall take away the ashes from the altar and spread a purple cloth over it. They shall put on it all the utensils of the altar, which are used for the service. There the fire pans, the forks, the shovels and the basins, all the utensils of the altar, and they shall spread on it a covering of goatskin, and shall put in its poles. When Aaron and his sons have finished covering the sanctuary and all the furnishings of the sanctuary as the camp sets out, after that, sons of Kohath shall come to carry these. But they must not touch the holy things, lest they die. These are the things of the tent of meeting that the sons of the Kohath are to carry. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, shall have charge of the oil for the light, the fragrant incense, the regular grain offering and the anointing oil, with the oversight of the whole tabernacle and all that is in it, of the sanctuary and its vessels. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, let not the tribe of the clans of the Kohathites be destroyed from among the Levites, but deal thus with them, that they may live and not die. When they come near to the most holy things, Aaron and his sons shall go in and appoint them each to his task and to his burden, but they shall not go in to look on the holy things, even for a moment, lest they die. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take a census of the sons of Gershon also, by their fathers' houses and by their clans. From 30 years old up to 50 years old, you shall list them. All who can come to do duty, to do service in the tent of meeting. This is the service of the clans of the Gershonites, in serving and bearing burdens. They shall carry the curtains of the tabernacle and the tent of meeting with its covering, and the covering of goatskin that's on top of it, and the screen for the entrance of the tent of meeting, and the hangings of the court, and the screen for the entrance of the gate of the court that's round the tabernacle, and the altar and their cords, and all the equipment for their service. And they shall do all that needs to be done with regard to them. All the service of the sons of Gershonite shall be at the command of Aaron and his sons, in all they are to carry and in all they are to have to do. You shall assign to their charge all that they are to carry. This is the service of the clans of the sons of Gershonite in the tent of meeting. And their guard duty is to be under the direction of Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest. As for the sons of Merari, you shall list them by their clans and their fathers' houses, from 30 years old up to 50 years old. You shall list them, everyone who can come on duty to do the service of the tent of meeting. And this is what they're charged to carry. As the whole of their service in the tent of meeting, the frames of the tabernacle with its bars, pillars and bases. And the pillars round the court with the bases, pegs and cords, with all their equipment and all their accessories. And you shall list by name the objects that are required to carry. This is the service of the clans of the sons of Merari. The whole of their service in the tent of meeting under the direction of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest. And Moses and Aaron, the chiefs of the congregation, listed the sons of Kohathites by their clans and their fathers' houses. From 30 years old up to 50 years old, everyone who could come on duty for service in the tent of meeting, and those listed by the clans were 2,750. This was the list of the clans of the Kohathites, all who served in the tent of meeting, whom Moses and Aaron listed according to the commandment of the law by Moses. Those listed of the sons of Gershon by their clans and their fathers' houses, from 30 years old up to 50 years old, everyone who could come on duty for service in the tent of meeting. Those listed by their clans and their fathers' houses were 2,630. This was the list of the clans of the sons of Gershon, all who served in the tent of meeting, whom Moses and Aaron listed according to the commandments of the Lord. Those listed of the clans of the sons of Merari, by their clans and their fathers' houses, from 30 years old up to 50 years old, everyone who could come on duty for service in the tent of meeting. Those listed by clans were 3,200. This was the list of the clans of the sons of Merari, whom Moses and Aaron listed according to the commandment of the Lord by Moses. All those were listed by the Levites, whom Moses and Aaron, the chiefs of Israel, listed by their clans and their fathers' houses, from 30 years old up to 50 years old, everyone who could come to do the service of ministry and the service of bearing burdens in the tent of meeting. Those listed were 8,580. According to the commandment of the Lord, through Moses they were listed, each one with his task of serving or carrying. Thus they were listed by him as the Lord commanded Moses. Well, in a moment, we're going to have a look at some of what we've read. But before we do, let me just mention a couple of things. Immediately after the sermon, there'll be an opportunity to ask questions or make comments. How we do that is we use a live chat. So on your screen here is a live chat. And you put a question in there and we'll have a think about the question or comment. What we tend to do is we put a queue in there just so that you've got a chance to ask your question and you're not being rushed. So that's question time. That's coming up. So I mentioned it now so you know that it's coming and so you can be thinking of what questions you may have. There's also a sermon outline, which is down there in the information box. You can download that. And finally, and most important, we're going to ask God to help us. Well, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that as we read your word, you do not leave anything out that is necessary for our understanding. And so because of that, would we please take your word seriously as we reflect on the whole counsel of God? Would we trust that you are the God who makes himself known, who knows himself exhaustively and us too? And as such, you are wise and good and know what we need to know. Therefore, we pray, Lord, that we take the teaching of the whole counsel of God as serious. Amen. The Bible doesn't begin with the people of Israel. It doesn't begin with Abraham, who is the father of the nation Israel. But the Bible begins with Adam. Adam is greater than Abraham insofar as he goes back further, and Adam is the father of every nation. But it was a result of Adam's theft from God that meant he and all his descendants would be banished from the garden that God had given them. So when we do arrive at Genesis 12, 1 to 3, and the promises that God makes Abraham, we see that these are the means by which God will solve the problem that was caused by Adam. In order to solve the problem, the solution cannot be confined to a single nation. Rather, as it says in Genesis 12, verse 3, it will be through Abraham that all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Abraham is the means by which God will bless all of Adam's descendants. So while we cannot overestimate the importance of Abraham and his descendants, at the same time, we do need to remember God's plan is not confined to the people of Israel. For he will raise people of God from all nations. But what this does mean is if we want any hope of understanding God's redemptive plan, we need to ensure we are firmly grounded in the promises that God made to Abraham in Genesis 12, 1 to 3. So let's take the opportunity to have a quick reminder. Genesis 12, 1 to 3 says this: Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God has promised to show Abraham a land. Later that promise develops to give Abraham, or at least his descendants, a land. God has promised to make Abraham into a great nation. And God has promised to bless Abraham. And then particularly in Genesis 3, we see Abraham is the source of all blessing and all curses. If you bless him, he'll be blessed. If you curse Abraham, God will curse you. And this plays out throughout Abraham's descendants. But at this point, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. This morning, we begin in the book of Numbers. And we find ourselves with Abraham's descendants who were in the wilderness. Having been rescued from Egypt by God, they are crossing the wilderness in order to take the land that God has given them. The same land that God promised Abraham all those years before. That the book of Numbers is called Numbers may well draw our attention to the second promise God made Abraham. God has promised Abraham that he would make him into a great nation. And the first chapter of Numbers is a census of the fighting men of Israel, of which there are 603,550. God has kept his promise, and Abraham's descendants have multiplied. This brings to mind the problem that caused the oppression the Israelites experienced in Egypt. Let me just read quickly, or you can turn to it, Exodus 1, 6 to 7. Exodus 1, 6 to 7 says this, "Then Joseph died and all his brothers and all their generation. But the people of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly. They multiplied and grew exceedingly strong, so that the land was filled with them." God's promise, the one made to Abraham many moons ago, leads to Israel multiplying so much so that Egypt cannot contain them, and now neither can the wilderness. While we're in Exodus, it's worth just turning two or three pages back to Genesis 48, verses 1 to 6. This is going to be important, so let me just read it. Genesis 48, 1 to 6. "After this, Joseph was told, 'Behold, your father,'" this is Jacob, "'is ill. So he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And it was told to Jacob, 'Your son Joseph has come to you.' Then Israel summoned his strength and sat up in bed. And Jacob said to Joseph, 'God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said to me, "Behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will make of you a company of peoples and will give this land to your offspring after you for an everlasting possession. And now your two sons who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt are mine. Ephraim and Manasseh shall be mine, as Reuben and Simeon are. And the children that you fathered after them shall be yours. They shall be called by the name of their brothers in their inheritance." In this passage, we come to Jacob. Jacob is Abraham's grandson. And what we notice is that he adopts two sons of Joseph. They're Joseph's sons that he had while he was in Egypt, Manasseh and Ephraim. And this is well worth being aware of. Jacob's name is changed by God to Israel. And his 12 sons become the 12 tribes of Israel. But it isn't quite as simple as that. Now that Jacob has adopted Manasseh and Ephraim, he has 14 sons. So when we go back to Numbers, when we finally get back to Numbers, and Numbers 1, what we see is this. Verse 20, we've got Reuben. Verse 22, we've got Simeon. Verse 24, Gad. 26, Judah. 28, Issachar. 30, the Zebulun. In 32, you get this peculiar thing where you've got Joseph, namely of the people of Ephraim. Then 34, Manasseh. 36 is Benjamin. 38, Dan. 40, we've got Asher. 42, Naphtali. And we're done. We have 12 tribes. Although notice what happens in verse 32. It says Joseph, namely of the people of Ephraim. That tribe from now on, forevermore, will be known not as Joseph, but as Ephraim. So we can either say Joseph misses out on his inheritance, no tribe is named after him, or maybe more accurately, as Jacob's favourite son, Joseph receives a double inheritance. Two tribes go to Joseph. One of those tribes is named Ephraim. The other is named Manasseh. But we're still missing a tribe. We had 14 potential tribes, and we've only accounted for 13. So which is missing? Well, the answer comes in Numbers 1, 47 to 54. The 14th tribe, the missing tribe, is the Levites. And the Levites are given a unique role. And they're the tribe that's not included in the 12, because they're responsible for the tabernacle. Which leads us nicely into chapter 2. Chapter 2 describes how the tribes are to arrange themselves when they camp and when they travel. Now, let me see. It begins on the east side. It begins on the east side of the camp with Judah, which is the largest tribe, and that numbers 74,600. Either side of Judah is Issachar and Zebulun. And when the camp sets off, the east side sets off first. Next, we have the south side. And on the south side camps Reuben. And either side of Reuben is Simeon and Gad. And when Israel sets off, there to follow the first tribe, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. In the center of the camp is a tent of meeting. And the Levites will carry the tent. So when they set off, when the camp sets off, the Levites with the tent go next. Afterwards, we have Ephraim and either side, Manasseh and Benjamin. They're on the west side. And when the camp sets off, they follow the tent of meeting. And then finally, on the north side, camps Dan with Asher and Naphtali on either side. And when the camp sets off, they go last. So what we begin to see is whether the people of Israel are camped or whether the people of Israel are traveling, we have what we might say is a shape that represents concentric circles. Right at the center is the tent of meeting. And then surrounding the tabernacle on east, south, west, and north sides are the 12 tribes of Israel. So the tent of meeting at the center, the 12 tribes of Israel encompassing the holy place. Now, when we get to Numbers 3, there's a further inner layer added. Now, Levi has three sons. Have a look at Numbers 3, verse 17. And these were the sons of Levi by their names, Gershon and Kohath and Merari. Incidentally, Moses and Aaron were themselves Levites. And incidentally, they trace their line back to Kohath. So the three groups of Levites, the Gershonites, the Kohathites, and Merarites, Moses and Aaron come from the Kohathites. So the Levites can be split into three smaller groups. Each group was responsible for guarding various parts of the tabernacle. And we also see how they're arranged around the tent. So on the west side, you've got the Gershonites. It's mentioned in verse 23. On the south side, you've got the Kohathites. And then on the north side, you've got the Merarites. At this point, the circle isn't complete. Who guards the east side, which incidentally includes the entrance, the tent of meeting? We'll have a look at Numbers 3, verse 38, and it tells us those who were to camp before the tabernacle on the east, before the tent of meeting towards the sunrise, were Moses and Aaron and his sons, guarding the sanctuary itself to protect the people of Israel. And any outsider who came near was to be put to death. So Moses, Aaron, and Aaron's sons, all the priests, will take the role of guarding the entrance to the tent of meeting. Now we just have enough time to touch on the contents of Numbers 4. The Levites have been set aside as a holy tribe. More than likely, as we've said, it's because Moses and Aaron come from this tribe. And that probably helps to explain why the Kohathites are singled out to be responsible for the most holy items. Because, as we've said, Moses and Aaron come from that smaller group. And we read, before the Kohathites go in, every holy item has to be covered with goat skin by the priests. And then each of those items, the priest put the poles through the pole rings. And it's by these pole rings that the Kohathites must carry the holy items. The Kohathites will die if they touch the holy things. If they arrive too early before the priests have finished covering, and they see the holy things, they will die. So we read in Numbers 4, verses 18 to 20. Let not the tribe of the clans of the Kohathites be destroyed from among the Levites, but deal thus with them, that they may live and not die when they come near to the most holy things. Aaron and his sons shall go in and appoint them each to his task and to his burden. but they shall not go in to look on the holy things, even for a moment, lest they die. We won't look in detail at the other two groups, but the Gershonites carry the curtains of the tabernacle, and the Merarites, they carry the frames of the tent of meeting. So as we finish, what does this concentric circle teach us? Who is it that's being protected? Do we have this picture of God at the centre, cowering at the thought of someone from outside getting into the camp and breaking through the tribes, breaking through the Levites, at which point God becomes vulnerable to the attacker? Well, as we finish, let's have a quick look in a little bit more detail at Numbers 3, verse 38. It says this: those who were to camp before the tabernacle on the east, before the tent of meeting towards the sunrise, were Moses and Aaron and his sons, guarding the sanctuary itself to protect the people of Israel. And any outsider who came near was to be put to death. So it appears that God is at the center and everyone protects him. Or do they? Now, interestingly, the person in verse 38 is described as an outsider. It's worth noting that the Hebrew word that is used is the same that's used back in 3 verse 4 that speaks of Aaron's son's sacrifice. So in Numbers 3 verse 4, but Nadab and Abihu died before the Lord when offered unauthorized fire. So the fire was unauthorized, as these people also are unauthorized. They're unauthorized from entering the tent. The response is drastic. Anyone who comes near is to be put to death. So they're not actually to make it even far enough to actually enter the tent. If the unauthorized were to break through, they would reach the holy things. And as we've been reading in Leviticus, the holy things would become contaminated. And if the holy things become contaminated, the whole sacrificial system breaks down. Which begins to expose who it is that's being protected. It clearly isn't God who needs protection. In Numbers 3, verse 38, we see the tabernacle is guarded to protect the people of Israel, not to protect God. At the most superficial level, the guard in the temple prevents someone from wandering too close and being killed. But not only would the individual die, but if anyone did enter the tent of meeting, it would have implications for the nation as a whole. The guarding the temple protects the people of Israel by guarding the sacrificial system that makes it possible for a holy to God to live with a sinful people. If an unauthorized person contaminates the holy items, the sacrificial system breaks down. And none of this sacrificial system is arbitrary. It's all the God-given means by which Israel's God, can dwell with his people. God is not in the center, cowering as the people of Israel protect him. The people surround the tent of meeting. and stay away while the priests carry out their duties for their own protection. While they continue to keep God's word, they remain a nation like no other, for which nation's God has ever dwelt with his people. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look back to the history of your people, the people of Israel, and we see how you are a God who dwells with your people, we pray, Lord, that we would see the seriousness of the sacrificial system, that it was in no way arbitrary, but it meant you as a holy God could live with a sinful people, as everything was in place to cover the sins of the people. We pray, Lord, as we reflect on these things, that we would give us great, help us to see the great privilege that we find ourselves in. Because we are able to dwell with our God, because he has set up a sacrificial system that's so comprehensive and so complete that we can dwell with you and need not fear. We pray, Lord, that we would not take these privileges lightly, but we'd be greatly assured, because you've done such great things in the past for your people, Israel. How much more have you done? How much more great things have you done through your own Son, who paid the price for us? Amen. Well, you know, in one sense, the sermon's not quite finished. We're going to finish off in a minute on a further reflection on the passage. But let's pause now and we'll open things up for questions. So how this is going to work is quite simple. You'll see on your live chat, you can type something. If you stick a Q in and press enter, that Q will appear on all our screens and we will know that we're awaiting a question from you. And that's just handy, really, because it just means that you're not trying to frantically write a question worried that we might move on. So if you've got a question, stick a Q in the comments live chat spot and we'll see the questions coming. We've obviously, well, in one sense, I guess it's quite repetitive passages, so that we've read a lot. Maybe there's not that much details, but we haven't commented on every detail, so you might want to ask something that we haven't spoken about, or you may want to pick up on something we have spoken about. Or you might want to ask, why have we only read four chapters? Couldn't we have gone to 5, 6, 7, and 8? Next week, you might want to say, does this have anything to do with 2 Samuel 6? Oh, we've got a question. Got a question on its way. Okay, so Susie says, were there any other priests other than Moses, Aaron, and his 2 sons? Well, there you go. This might be one. Adrian might be in a slightly better position to answer this. I think one of the big... So I think there's something of a... Well, let me say something that you might not be, I think really answers your question. In one sense, there is there's tiers of priests. So on the very broadest sense, Israel behaved as a priesthood to all the nations. And so this is helpful, really, because it helps us get to the bottom of what a priest does. A priest points to God, or helps us in our service to God. So the idea of Israel was they were to reflect God's character. As they obeyed his law, the people would look in and see and think, look at how they behave, look at how they look after one another, look how they care for one another. These truly are God's people. You know, their God must be great. He must be worth obeying and worshipping. Look at how happy they are because of how they succeed, how they love one another, how they relate to one another. Their God must be great. And so there was a sense in the whole of Israel acted as a priesthood towards the nations. Going down a tier, you come to the people of Levi, the Levites. They acted as a tribe of priests. That's why they're separated. So in one sense, they're priests, but now their service is to the other tribes of the nations. And so they're sort of mere carrying, guarding, looking after the holy items, looking after the temple, the tabernacle, setting up the tent of meeting, looking after the curtains. That's a service of a priestly nature. Then you would have other priests that were just sort of plain old priests, and then you would have the high priest. Now, I guess at this stage, you know, here we are, we've got Aaron and his two sons. I guess it's set in the scene. It's not gone into the details of the more kind of comprehensive details of who the other priests are, but there certainly would be these different tiers of priests. I guess initially there was supposed to be Aaron and his four sons, but of course two of them have died. I don't know whether I don't know if Adrian's come across anything in Leviticus that gives any more details on that. Any other questions, comments, queries? As is always the case, I think, you know, we're in numbers 1 to 4. What we've done today has set the scene. So I don't know numbers particularly well, and I'm yet to do a full read of it. But what I do remember and what I do know of the book of Numbers is some of this stuff is going to start to come into play later on. But I won't say anything. I'll just say the scene has been set. And we will return, no doubt, to these themes as we continue on. I think that may be when questions might be generated a little bit easier. Adrian's quoted Exodus 19, 5-6. So you've got Aaron and his sons, the Levites, and Israel as priests. And Ricky's sending in a comment that we await. Okay, Numbers 153. But But the Levites shall camp around the tabernacle of the testimony, so there may be no wrath on the congregation of the people of Israel. And the Levites shall keep guard over the tabernacle of the testimony. Yes, so Ricky writes, links well to your helpful point about who's being protected. Yes, very much so. Sure. So another question, I think from Nikki, please could you explain which Hebrew word is the same in 3:38 and 3:4? So in 3:4, you've got, but Nadab and Abihu died before the Lord when they offered unauthorized fire. So unauthorized is the same word then in verse 38, and any outsider. So the outsider is a similar stem or the same word in Hebrew. So that outsider could read, and any unauthorized person who came near was to be put to death. And I think that's helpful flagging up. Well, I don't know, I guess outsider, it raises the question, is it, does outsider mean someone outside of the camp? Is that a Gentile, or is outsider just means, but I think unauthorized, I guess, just helps it to become a bit more clear that the unauthorized is anyone who shouldn't be going towards a temple, not according to God's plan.